Welcome once again to the messages of Cornerstone Anglican Church.
This is holy, this is holy. This is holy, this is holy.
The things we try to achieve will fail if we build them on shaky ground. In this episode, Pastor Andrew unpacks what it means to build on Christ our cornerstone.
Isaiah 28:16 says, "Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. The one who believes in it will not be disturbed." So if you're disturbed, you've actually stopped believing. If I'm disturbed, I've also stopped believing. So what is a cornerstone? Lynette gave us some sense of cornerstone is strength and gives strength to the building. And it certainly does that. But it gives something that's probably more important. It gives direction to the building. Without a proper cornerstone, the building that you build will be wonky. Because the cornerstone is that which sets where the building is going to go on the piece of land that you're putting it on. It will determine where the north wall will end up, the west wall, the south wall, and the east wall. It will determine whether your building is straight or crooked. And God says, "I am laying a precious cornerstone." Now he's laying it. It's not laid yet. God is in process here of laying a precious cornerstone, which will be the foundation of what he is wanting to build on this planet. It's such a literal statement here in the book of Isaiah. And yet it is fulfilled as we approach Christmas and our understanding. It's fulfilled by the birth of the Saviour, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is the precious cornerstone. You know, we live in a culture that dispenses with Jesus. We live in a culture that for many dispenses entirely of God. We live in a culture that mistreats that precious cornerstone, that demeans it, that uses it as swear words. It uses it in contempt. But Jesus is the precious cornerstone that gives direction to what it is that God wants to do on this planet and what God has been doing for over 2,000 years through this cornerstone. If the building can get wrong with the wrong cornerstone or with no cornerstone, how does it really affect it? Buildings have a certain perspective upon which they grow and they develop. And that is, you get it right from the beginning, or you don't get it right at all. And that's what the cornerstone's all about. So then Isaiah goes on to talk about rebuilding the ancient ruins, saying that you will raise up the age-old foundations. And we've talked before about the crumblings of the foundations. The sense of what God does when he is breaking down our current foundations and replacing them with new foundations is that the new foundations aren't entirely new. The new foundations will have aspects not of the one that just crumbled, but the foundations that go back for thousands of years. The ancient foundations. Sometimes the very foundations that were laid in the first place, that over millennia have crashed and crumbled, been restored, been renewed, crashed and crumbled again, and then which we as a society and culture have experienced in our time. To see the foundations of the past go under and new foundations being established. And of course, one of the difficulties, and it's worse in the church than anywhere else, is we want to hold on to the past. We want to hold on to that which we knew was reliable. We want to hold on to that which, in a sense, gave us confidence that if we build and rebuild on that same foundation, we're building a good building. That's fine if the foundation hadn't crumbled. You can't rebuild on crumbled foundations. And the church can't rebuild on crumbled foundations. We have to build new ones. And we have to build them according to the chief cornerstone, the precious cornerstone. We just can't rebuild them any way we like. They have to be rebuilt according to the aspects, the nature, and the direction of the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we can't dispense with Jesus at the heart. If he's not at the heart, then we've got a wonky cornerstone. Whatever we're building the building on is not going to function. It's not going to work. Because at the heart of things, the very foundation that God was laying from the beginning of Isaiah time is the very foundation, the very cornerstone upon whatever God is doing today, he is building it on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. There's no other option. It's not like God says, oh, look, okay, Jesus didn't work, I'll try something else. Because the precious cornerstone was not just like anything else. This was the only begotten Son of the living God, who'd come from heaven in the person of Jesus to be the precious cornerstone that God was using to build a new church, a new people of God. One that would not only encompass one nation, but one that would encompass all nations. The potential to bring all people into the kingdom of God. And that's God's agenda. So we can't leave one person out, either because we don't like them or because they don't fit into the right category. We can't leave one person out because they seem to be doing okay. If Jesus is not at the center of their heart, they are not doing okay. If their life is not being built on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ the Lord, then they're not doing okay. Let's just shift over for a minute to the gospel reading from Luke 6. Jesus had just finished noting the difference between a good heart and a bad heart, a good heart and an evil heart. He says the good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth what is evil. For what his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And then he goes on to talk about building on the rock and building on the sand. He says, why do you just call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say or what I ask? Now, have you ever wondered what Jesus is getting at here? Because when he started this parable, people said, but didn't we prophesy in your name? Now, didn't we do good works in your name? And he says, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say, which is contrary. If Jesus is Lord, then we do what he says. To call him Lord, Lord, and not do what he says, Jesus says, is to build your house on sand. In this story, he says, when the river bursts against it, immediately it collapses. A house built on rock will stand firm. A house built on sand will be washed away. So if Jesus is not the center of our hearts, if he's not the center of what we do, if we don't do his words and act in the way that he asks us, then we're on shaky ground. Because our life is not built on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. In the same way, a church that is not built on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, is on shaky ground. When the flood comes, it won't survive that. So our worship needs to be focused, built, and strengthened by this person called Jesus Christ. That we are built on him. That he's not only the center of our life, he gives absolute direction to our life. Do you know what that means? It means if you haven't known Jesus and you meet him and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, your life is never going to be the same again. You will be fundamentally changed. The whole direction and what gives direction to your life has changed. And I can tell you after how many decades now, I would not like to go back to the time when he hadn't changed me. I don't want to go back to the days before I knew him. And hey, the decades have not always been fun. And they've been filled with difficulties and troubles. But I do not want to go back to the time I did not know him. I don't want to go back to the time when he's not my cornerstone, the foundation upon which I build my life. I also don't want to go back to the time when he's not the foundation of our church, when he's not the one who gives direction to what we do and how we do it and when we do it and where we do it. Someone gave me a verse this morning which said that Jesus said, come to me all who are tired and weary laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that an awesome verse? So we should take that to heart. Okay, hey, that's us. Let's come to him who will give us rest. But what is rest in that sentence? What does Jesus mean by rest in that sentence? Why were they weary? Do you know why they were weary? They'd heard too much of Lord, Lord. too much of people saying, we are God's instrument. We are doing God's will, when they were far from doing God's will. They were pressurizing others, pushing others, demanding others, coercing others to do the so-called will of God, which Jesus in his wisdom said was just simply the traditions of men. They had too much of the pressure to be ultra-spiritual, ultra-good, ultra-perfect. And they'd grown tired under that. They'd grown weary of it. They'd grown weary of the struggle of it, the attempts to try and live up to whatever this religious understanding might be. And Jesus says, I'll give you rest. He didn't mean you could have a sleep. Didn't mean you could put up your feet in front of the TV. I mean, they're all okay. But that's not what's going to give you rest. It's getting understanding of what it means for God to be the true center of our life. That Jesus at the center. That understanding that we do not have to do it by ourselves. We do not have to somehow or other hold up some sort of holy life that we find so difficult to achieve. But that a new righteousness and holiness was coming from Jesus himself. And that new righteousness and that new holiness would give them peace in their hearts and rest for their souls. The emotional struggle, the spiritual struggle would be washed away in a moment of time and replaced by this precious cornerstone. And this is what Isaiah says to us. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Now go down to verse 3 from chapter 61 of Isaiah. To comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit, so they'll be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We've talked about this righteousness. And here God lays it out at the heart of it. The righteousness will come to us because of something he does for us, not something that we do. That because he's going to raise us up from that impact of mourning, that disheartenment, that he's going to raise us up, and because he raises us up, we will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And then, note the word then, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations. So what is God saying to us at this day? Is to come back to the chief cornerstone, that precious cornerstone, to make Jesus the center of our life, of our church, of all that we do, and seek that which God wants, not what we want. To attend to the things he directs us to, rather than the things we think we should do or others think we should do. That we might be truly centered in the will of God, doing what Jesus said and acting upon his words. And if we do that, we will be building on rock. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you, from the time of Isaiah, began laying a precious cornerstone in the person of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. So help us, Lord, to come to rest truly in you, so that we may be strengthened, empowered, and encouraged to build our house on the rock and to do what Jesus asks us to do and how he asks us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew, check out our Facebook page or look us up on the net at cornerstone-church.com.au.